You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello again and welcome to Urban Meyer's Pint House. It is weekend kickoff. It is brought to you by Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems. We are back to talk about those Buckeyes, big winners who covered last week. For any of you who maybe didn't think that Ohio State would do that to stay unbeaten in the Big Ten, just rolling over Purdue, and we've got a huge one to talk about on Saturday at noon in the Horseshoe. It's Senior Day. It's a top 10 matchup. Buckeyes playing Michigan State. Zach Bourne's even back in the country to get ready for it.
Yes.
I'm back.
He's next to Cardale Jones, Evan Spencer, Bobby Carpenter, and Tyvis Powell. I am Austin Ward. So, hey, 28-point win over a ranked opponent. Not ranked anymore because of what Ohio State did to him. Feels like that was a pretty impressive one, and they certainly surpassed all the expectations that you guys had last week, didn't
Definitely.
They?
Jeez,
come on. As far as the score, yeah, but no one doubted the Buckeyes.
Okay,
and,
that's fair.
You know, Purdue came out a little flat in the beginning. Well, next year they didn't. They went right down and scored after.
Yeah, seven,
yeah I mean, yeah, yeah. Momentum takes control of so many football games, man.
Yeah.
You know, turnovers are crazy, and then you get that environment, that atmosphere, right, and those – it's like a 12th man of sorts, right, is on your back, yeah. And then it's like, oh, crap, we're making mistakes, you know, and then they just pile on each other.
Coach, they fumbled and muffed the kickoff in like the first 6 minutes
they
of
were,
the game.
They were peeing
yeah.
down their leg.
I mean.
Yeah. About it, the whole game took a turn. When they switched quarterbacks and he fumbled that ball, it was over. Everything just went downhill for Purdue. The Buckeyes capitalized on everything.
Well, I had heard the only person that said to cover the spread was Austin Ward down there. I heard.
Is that
I wasn't
right?
here.
Is that right?
I would have told you they were covering the spread as well.
I believe you.
I bet it from down in Mexico. Don't ask about the sport books down there, okay?
I'm pretty curious. But after the show, I'm going to ask you all about that.
But I think rightfully so that the spread was that much because this Ohio State team is peaking, right? And I don't think we're giving Purdue enough credit. That Purdue team beat Iowa on the road. Mm-hmm. That Purdue team just hammered Michigan State, the team that Ohio State's playing this weekend. So that Purdue team is not like it was a slouch. That Purdue team took Notre Dame down to the wire, right? I mean, that Purdue team could really play. So I don't think it's so much on Purdue. I think we need to shift the focus to Ohio State, just Ohio State's peaking at the right time.
No doubt.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely on the defensive side of the ball. I thought Purdue and Devin Bell would get off a little bit more than they did. They did an unbelievable job of making adjustments, especially in the second half. So we definitely got to get credit where credit is due. But, I mean, from the games that Zach just mentioned, that's why I didn't think Ohio State was going to cover the spread. Purdue is also hitting the right spots at the right time. But at the end of the day, the Ohio State firepower and their talent just was no match for Purdue.
Funny how Purdue gets credit for this from everybody except the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. Drops them right out of the top 25 and dings Ohio State's resume because they won two impressively. And
yeah.
Then they'll just, they put in Mississippi State at 25 instead with four losses in the SEC.
Well, before the game, weren't they talking about like Purdue was like the chance to win the West or
yeah,
something like
did.
That, right?
Yeah. So four-way tie for first.
Yeah. You know, definitely a quality football team. And Zach hit the nail on the head, right? I mean, that quarterback was talented. I mean, and he's got a bunch of talented guys to throw the ball to. And we saw them, unfortunately. There's a team that didn't give up. I mean, shoot, they went down and put 30 on us towards the end of the game, and it could have been really easy to take the gas pedal off or, you know, it's too crazy in here. Let's get the next round of guys in. So, you know, they fight, and it was a good team, but at the end of the day, it was just a mountain that was too big.
You know, what to me was impressive, like you said, you know, Aiden O'Connell, he's a good quarterback. Like, they have good players. And you saw some of that in the second half, and when people get hung up, all right, they end up giving 31 points. I would have liked to have seen it held to 24.
Well, you're playing soft coverage, though. I mean, at that point, it's a race to get to the bars and get off the field.
Race to get to the bars. Zach Bourne.
We tell the truth on this show.
It's the truth show. And that's
Hey, Bob, am I right?
No.
It's hey, keep everything in front of you. Don't give up the big play.
You're right.
Guess what?
It
give up
be
the
on
first
street.
Down. It's fine. Guess what? Make them take the ball. 12 plays down the field. That's fine. Don't make it four.
Well, there's an element. They're trying to rotate guys. They want to get guys hurt. You want to make sure you stay healthy. The game is in hand. It was won. It was 35-7, like early in the second quarter. Mm-hmm. And it's tough to people. I hear people like, well, they're not playing as hard. There's not the intensity. I'm like, it's really tough to recreate intensity on a third and six when you're up by 30, right. 35 points. Like, yeah. It's just not something that comes that easily. And like also what Zach would say, umbrella this thing, tackle them, just get them to the ground. And so the last touchdown, I was like, eh, I could have done without that. Defensively, I thought they played pretty well. They didn't get very much pressure, but I think that's a function of the fact they didn't blitz at all in the second half. They just played base coverage.
They dropped eight.
They're dropping eight guys. Just, hey, we'll give you the underneath stuff. No home runs. And so I think that was a lot of it. Need to see a little more pressure this week. And frankly, I thought the secondary played well. I mean,
yeah.
You know, they had the one four-way that, you know, they slip one through there, and I give it to
Joe. By one to the boundary. I mean, how many guys do you need?
They were playing Tampa 2 to it. They were playing Tampa 2, and why they stayed Tampa 2 is beyond me.
Four eligible receivers, two in coverage.
Yeah, I give Jeff Brom some credit scheming one up. And then also,
Shaw.
I thought really, Bryson Shaw had some busts. I mean, he had some things. He owned it after the game.
Yep.
But corner-wise, I thought they played pretty well outside. Seven Banks needs to probably step up and play a little bit better. But Denzel Burke, I thought, played really well. And I thought Cam Brown played really well.
And I thought Lathan Ransom played really well. Right?
Yeah,
I think he finally stepped up this week. And so I think moving forward, you're going to see a lot of – they might go to the old school 4-3 defense, especially this week. You know, and you don't really see it now because when we're playing at Ohio State, you're mostly a nickel, 4-2-5. And you got the nickel player, which we see as Lathan Ransom all the time. But this week, I think more than any, and even the following week against Michigan in the Big Ten championship game against Wisconsin, you're going to see a true 4-3 defense. And to Bob's point, I think some of those guys that haven't been performing, like a Seven Banks, like some of those other guys, they're just not going to see the playing field.
Yeah.
Because you do have Denzel Burke. You do have Cam Brown. You do have got Ronnie Hickman, right? Those guys are playing really well. Lathan Ransom starting to come on. So those guys that have kind of been struggling and, you know, not making the plays –
wow.
You're not going to see the field as the season goes on.
I definitely think so. Moving forward, you got to lean on the two guys, Cam Brown and Denzel Burke, because whatever the reason may be, Banks is just not getting it done in coverage.
No.
And not even that. You know, we as fans sit back and watch, oh, why are they catching you in the zone and things like that. But when you're missing open field tackles and things like that, that's an issue. And that's the type of things that keep drive sustained. That's the type of things that get you beat.
Well, and here's the other thing. As a player, we'll be the first to admit you get beat sometimes, right? There is not one player that will never get beat ever.
Right.
Here's the problem.
Hold on. Pepper Johnson told me he never missed an open field tackle.
Stop it, Bob.
He told me he never. Pepper Johnson told us.
He never had any other missed assignments.
Always get a second source.
I mean, he played against Barry Sanders. Okay. First person narrative. I mean, that's as good as you're getting.
If your mom tells you he loves you, get a second source.
This is the way you judge it, though. To Cardell's point. You're going to get beat sometimes. You flip it from the other side of how many plays you make, right? That's how you rebuttal getting beat, is just making plays and sticking. And I say, hey, listen, I got beat, but I'm going to make some plays. Seven Banks is some of those guys just aren't making plays, and that's the issue.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually. You know, moving forward, they can't – this rotation at corner thing, it's not – it's got to stop, because you need to get your rhythm. Like, after a while, I've been in this game, I don't understand what I'm going against. You know, I got my rhythm.
Right.
I'm able to do my routine. I know what technique I need to use. I got a good feeling for this wide receiver. If you keep taking me out, it's like now I'm losing it a little bit. Now I might be a step off. So I think moving forward, they just got to lean on Cam Brown and Denzel Burke, because those two are definitely making the plays. Now, don't get me wrong, Seven Banks made some plays earlier in the season, but as of lately, he just hasn't been showing up.
Definitely. I mean, and you bring up a good point. Like, when you're playing receiver, we play with our splits so much that, like, if you aren't in the first time we ran that formation with that split, you're not going to know that we're running a drag route, and you might have to have some kind of coverage adjustment. So it's just like, let the guys get out there and get comfortable, right? Like, understand what communication looks like when the bullets are flying. You know, understand what these splits are looking like, and just being able to play through the entire game. That rotation stuff, whether it's quarterback, running back, receivers, and especially DBs, like, there is balance in being able to pick your folks and let them do their thing and run with whoever else you need when the time's right.
Well, I think it's funny, too. We've been talking about the defense this entire time. We have failed to mention this offense that basically scored
like it's pretty good.
Every
well, this was my
single possession, right? So, right. I mean, that's the thing, right? Yeah. It's one of those things where going into this week against Michigan State, who is the worst pass defense in the entire country, not the Big Ten, the country. Let that sink in.
Yeah.
he would have become a Heisman Trophy winner.
We know why they run the ball so much now.
Right. A lot of teams are going to
go. So from that standpoint, it's we're not even talking about going into this game and Ohio State's game plan with the way they're clicking on offense. And my goodness, man, the trio at wide receivers, Travion Henderson, Mayan Williams is coming on now. And C.J. Stroud is just getting better and better and gaining more and more confidence.
Yeah, he's a guy that I'm extremely excited about, clearly moving forward, not just because of the quarterback, but for how tough we were on him as a whole, as a fan base early on in the season. And seeing the things that he's doing right now and on the pace to break some records that stood at Ohio State for a very long time. And Jackson Smith, the Jigba,
yeah.
Like,
Jigba.
Jesus Christ. Like, whoever thought in the beginning of the season.
Is he playing wideout too?
One of them. Black Garrett Wilson last week walking on water out there.
Yeah, but who would have thought at the beginning of the season we'd be talking about almost this kid more than Wilson and Olave?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, this offense, this firepower at receiver going against this, the worst defensive on the back end in the country, probably put up some historical numbers.
Kudos to C.J. Stroud. Kudos to the offense, right? Like, I mean, there's so much diversity that allows Jackson Smith and Jigba and Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson to still be themselves in the offense. Get 6-plus catches a game. Like, I had, like, a catch a game average.
Whoever thought this, whoever thought at the beginning of the season we'd be looking at freaking Wilson getting a jet sweep and taking him to the house. You know,
I'm saying. Last week's play con was kind of the first one where I think you could tell Ryan Day was coming out of his shell a little bit and opening things up.
Yeah.
Because finally, go ahead, Bob. But finally, all these guys are getting their touches. You know, we've seen it throughout the season that it's kind of like one game Jackson Smith goes off, one game Olave, one game Garrett Wilson. You saw last week all three of those guys just go off and all get their fair share of touches. And here's the other thing. It could be the first time ever in Big Ten history that three wide receivers go over 1,000 receiving
yards
in a season.
Where are they at right now on that?
They're close.
Jackson's over. I think Garrett Wilson's within 100, and Olave might be the most,
like
170.
He needs about 290, I believe.
Oh, 290?
But
they have three games left.
He's been a Michigan State and Michigan killer, so I think he's probably.
Yeah.
He'll be fine. Coach will make sure that it happens.
Bob, something about opening shells?
I don't know if Ryan Day's coming out of a shell. I mean, I think what they did, the offensive line played better, got the running game going at a higher degree. You know, so that was a big piece of it. They started exploring some more of the perimeter runs that the jet sweep obviously was a part of it. But even with Travion, they started getting some perimeter runs. I love when they get under center. And they hand the ball to Maya. I mean, it's just diversity in what they're trying to do, and it keeps the defense – I'm guessing. And then also, I've been as critical of C.J. Stroud as anybody, just simply due to the expectations of what I think his talent is and what's expected of that position. And, you know, running, not running, all that nonsense. He played a really good game.
Yeah.
Like, no one's going to tell you to run if the run isn't there. If you're sitting there throwing, you did the nice touch. And the one thing people didn't talk about, you knew because you were at the game and you were over there, you and True Digressions, Mr. Tim May, chasing that hat off the field so it didn't blow right out the tunnel as we're sitting there talking about it. But that's a big piece.
It was a little bit nicer in Mexico.
He threw the ball well in the wind.
Yeah, he did.
Right.
And, you know, from a guy like he's a California kid, you wonder, you start getting cold and in the Midwest, being able to cut the wind, cut the elements, that's a big piece. And that was reassuring looking at that because historically, Michigan State's best defense against Ohio State is bad weather, inclement weather.
Yes. Hey,
and maybe a 4th-and-2 play call in Indy. But outside of that, I'm the only one at this point. Well, Zach.
Yeah, that's bad.
Zach, too.
That's really bad.
Zach and I are the only two people standing here who haven't lost to Michigan State twice, so... Go Bucks.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, wow.
What is going on?
Oh, snap. Seriously? Oh, snap.
Wow.
Seriously.
I cannot believe you just did that.
That's true.
Not in the regular season.
I know what else is true. Is that the weather is changing and Bryant Heating and Cooling is stepping up.
That's a great point, Zach, because next week is Thanksgiving. Are you ready for some turkey dinner? Maybe a little pumpkin pie? Well, how's your furnace? Are you sure it's ready?
Change your filters.
Whether it just needs a quick tune-up or you need a whole new system, Ohio Heating, they are your factory-authorized Bryant dealer, and they will do whatever it takes to make sure you and your family are warm and comfortable for the holidays. Schedule your winter tune-up today with Ohio Heating at ohheating.com. Bryant and Ohio Heating, they're doing whatever it takes. They are the presenting sponsor this week of Weekend Kickoff.
Sorry, I had to get that in the Michigan State jab.
Wait a minute. But you wasn't there in 2013?
No, he's 2012. No.
2012. Come on, dog.
Yeah.
he dodged that one. All right.
He go, okay, a 4th-and-2 call. You.
Low blow. Put him right here. We're going to have to break him up for the second half of the show. Whatever it takes, players of the game, who are you watching this week to get it done against Michigan State, Cardale?
I'm going to go with the same group I said last week, and I can't believe I failed to mention them and early on in this segment, but the offensive line and that running game. We know that Michigan State is very vulnerable on the back end, and we already expect no matter what defense we're going against on the back end that to our receivers and our quarterback to perform. But at the end of the day, when the weather gets like this, the time of the year, you got to bring your run game. Yep. You got to have it. So I would love to see these guys continue to get better and move forward and forward and just move these guys out the way. So I'm going to go with the five offensive linemen and whoever carrying the ball.
I'm going to go with the triangle, as Bob knows this. Well, he didn't really play Mike linebacker, but the Mike linebacker and his two best friends, Tyleek Williams and Haskell Garrett, right? The triangle right on the inside, the two interior defensive linemen and Steel Chambers. Because guess what? Those three have to dominate the game this week. Michigan State, they run the football. Kenneth Walker's a great running back. He obviously is up for the Heisman race. If those three guys can play really well, and Haskell Garrett, Tyleek Williams can take up those interior offensive linemen, and Steel Chambers is able to run free, that's why they're best friends, Cardell. Yeah, I'm just trying to teach you. If he can do that, and Steel Chambers is able to run free and make plays and play downhill, the Ohio State defense would be more than fine.
Yeah.
Middle guy.
They're trying. We learn.
You're going to hate me, Tyvus. I'm going with you, man, but I'm going with your group. Across the board, though, Lathan Ransom, Denzel Burke, Cam Brown, all of these guys, because I want to be able to look at a productive offense in Michigan State and say that, you know what, we took away one of their weapons. They're going to run the ball, and they're going to have a number of unique ways to try to get that guy the ball in between the tackles, outside of the tackles, and even out of the backfield catching the ball. But if we can take their receivers away, right? Jaden Reed, I think his name is, right?
Yeah.
He's a playmaker. Right? At the end of the day, his releases are incredible, and they put him in the slot. They put him at X, and they put him at Z. So that means all three of our guys in the secondary are really going to have to come with everything they got this week, and I'm excited to watch them.
And that's one of the things. Jalen Naylor is his, like, counterpart. If he doesn't play, it's going to be a rough day for Michigan State because I think they need both of those guys out there. You know, I mean, we're mentioning the offensive line. Zach's taking all the linebackers.
I didn't take them all. I just took Steele. Steele. You can take Cody Sutton.
You got to start down there with Tyvus.
Steele doesn't play
time.
Mike.
Make his job a little easier.
What?
Take the triangle.
Steele plays. Take my
Steele
room, bro.
Kind of plays well, but they mix and match.
But the triangle is like a right triangle.
It is kind of like a right triangle. Obtuse triangle.
I'm going to go. You know, I could take the defensive ends bottom up. I'm going to go with the guy, and I believe, didn't he have a long touchdown run in this game last year?
CJ? He sure did.
Well, you know
he had
what?
A 42 yarder.
You know, he didn't throw a pass in the game.
He can run it, baby.
But he ran it.
Pulled it and go.
And you know what? I'm looking at him this week because he's going against the 130th ranked secondary, literally dead last.
Absolutely.
Dead last.
I mean, that's behind Mel Tucker.
Let's see some efficiency.
I love Mel Tucker to death. He is one of my all time favorites. Not like Coach Meyer's all-time. He's literally one of my all-time favorites because you can only have so many. I love Mel Tucker to death. Wisconsin guy, Cleveland native, you know, coach at Ohio State. He's awesome. I mean, rumor has it he's about to sign a 10-year, $9.5 million per year deal. He'd better make sure he clicks that DocuSign, the right. Drive, whatever it is.
Sign
has that thing laminated.
Before noon on Saturday.
Before the game.
Before noon on Saturday.
He's a great coach. But, man, I don't know if there's anything in that defensive playbook to be able to slow down these wideouts if you can give them protection. If CJ plays like he did last week, he'll have another 350, 400 yards passing.
I think coaches who sign in-season extensions are like 0-1 million for their careers. You want to get that done, and that seems to take up their attention because
why would they start?
Just like what PJ Fleck
was thinking this game.
I'm picking out Jets.
You want to have
picking
your agent
out Jets because Jimmy Sexton's his agent.
Jimmy, I think I'm going to run in. I'm a 21-point
James
dog
Franklin's going to have a $9 million one at the end of the year, too.
I don't know about that.
He is.
He's going to USC?
He was my agent. No, he's not. He's going to tell him he's going to USC and they're ratcheting up Penn State.
I will tell you what. I know this for a fact. If James Franklin gets offered another job, they're not going to say anything except go ahead, sir. Mm-hmm. Take it. I know that for a fact.
Let's see what we got. Offensive line, linebackers.
A triangle.
Took your room.
Triangle.
Quarterback. I guess I'll take the wide receivers there. What the heck?
Roll reversal.
Yeah. You know, Evan. I got to show Evan some love here.
Yep.
Take the wide receiver rooms. Obviously, there is the worst pass defense. I mean, I would love to see Chris Olave go back to that deep ball threat and really spark this game off by catching one deep. probably the first touchdown, 76-yard touchdown. Ooh. Just throwing a number out there. Don't quote me on it, though I was right about that man over there. But anyway, yeah, I would love to see him on the deep ball, start this thing off, get it going, get real close to that 200, that two. How many yards he needs?
He's about 290.
See him getting about 114.
So Jax had one two games ago. Garrett had one last game, and now it's Chris Olave.
It's Chris Olave's turn. You know, they just passed. Because he's been the guy. Coming into this season, Chris Olave was the focal point.
Agreed.
For defenses.
Agreed.
And I think what happened is him being so dynamic and being so elite at what he does, it's opened it up for everybody else, for Garrett Wilson, for Jackson Smith and Jigba. Now it's time for it to flip back to him being that guy again. Yep. And I think this is the game we're going to see. He's going to have his coming out party.
Time for him to start showing. Other guys were growing. He's going to be the showing.
Yes.
I gotcha.
Got to grow out to show out, Bob. I think we've learned a lot today. Just throw in that's some biology as well. Jeremy Ruckert has been pretty openly challenged by the Ohio State coaching staff to give more. I think Kevin Wilson, you know, before last week, so it's not making the competitive plays. It's not a coincidence that he didn't start on Saturday. You don't just send Mitch Rossi out there. You get to script that, and you can do whatever you want. They didn't put a senior tight end on the field. Obviously, you know, that's going to hurt the pride a little bit. We know what he's capable of. He can raise the ceiling of that whole offense. Not that it even really needs it. They scored 59 points, but it's one more.
What is the ceiling?
I don't know. The ceiling is the
ceiling
roof.
Is the roof. Michael
Jordan. Yeah, there we go. The ceiling is the roof.
I mean, this team can score any way that it wants, and I just, you know, you add one more wrinkle, one more thing for maybe Georgia to think about later on, not to get too far ahead
Coach,
of it.
Coach, if he catches that ball against Nebraska, then you know what? We feel a little better about life.
Well, see,
yeah, we do, actually.
He put a touchdown on the ground against Oregon, too, and that wound up being a seven-point game, so I think the challenge will be there for Jeremy Ruckert. I think that he's more than capable of answering it. Those are our Bryant Heating and Cooling, whatever it takes players to watch this week. We're going to take a quick break here, a little halftime intermission. We'll be back to talk a lot more about Ohio State and Michigan State on Saturday at noon.
It takes attention to detail. With your local Bryant dealer, you're getting more than just a technician. You're getting someone who pays attention to your needs and the little things that make a big difference. It takes a dealer you can rely on. And to keep your family warm this winter,
here, let me show you how this works.
It takes Bryant.
Bryant. Whatever it takes.
And to keep your family comfortable, it takes Ohio Heating. Find them at ohheating.com.
And now with some early bowl predictions, Bobby Carpenter.
Well, Austin, what I'm seeing here is 12 lucky Roosters guests are getting the opportunity to travel to this year's Buckeye Bowl game. Each trip comes complete with two tickets, airfare, and hotel. One prize winner will be chosen each week. Guessing to register weekly at roosterswings.com.
That's great, Bobby. What I was asking was your prediction for the Buckeyes this bowl season.
I have no idea. I'm going to Roosters right now to register.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, welcome back in. It is the second half of Weekend Kickoff. It is brought to you by Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems and our friends at Byers Auto, who always present the question for Cardale.
Oh, yeah.
And we tend to talk about the quarterbacks.
Why is always a question for you?
I think he's because the
quarterback.
It kind of,
I think that's just the way it is.
They just like Cardale.
Question car. I think, and then Byers Auto cars.
Okay.
I think that's what it is.
Okay. That's as good of reason as any. Can all take a stab at this because it works not just for Cardale, but when you go into a game, and for this one particularly, you touched on it, Michigan State is ranked number 130 out of 130 in the country in pass defense. So this could be anything, you know, a rush defense that might struggle or cornerbacks. You know, Bob, I don't know what it is for you. I mean, matching up with a team that can't throw to a tight end, I don't – I don't know. You can tell me. But whatever it is, you look at it, a team struggles. How do you keep yourself focused on that? You still have to execute your own job, but you know, man, Saturday could be really big for me. Keep your excitement level in check, maybe.
Well, at the end of the day, you still got to go out there and game play. I mean, you got to go out there and execute it, too. So for a player or a quarterback to go into that situation knowing where a major weakness is,
yeah,
and it just happened to be one of your major strengths on your team, mm-hmm, you try to play within the system. Don't go out there chasing ghosts. Right. Don't go out there looking for things that might not be there. Throwing into double coverage. Oh, this might be this the worst team I can make these throws, or they ain't going to make those plays. Because at the end of the day, these are still Division I athletes, and they still have a lot on the line, and they want to come in here and spoil our season.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm going to answer that question in two parts. And they're both as honest can be.
Oh.
When you are playing, you don't pay attention to stats. You just don't. You pay attention. You, when you show up on Sunday, you know who you're playing. After you go through your film and you start looking at the next week's opponent, you're looking at their personnel. You're looking at how they play. You're not looking, hey, they're knowing that they're last in the entire country in pass defense. You are going back to game planning and playing against the personnel. You don't even look at stats. Now, on the flip side, for everyone that wants to think football players, especially college football players, are behind walls and don't know anything that's going on in the outside world, is completely false. Completely false. Those guys are checking Twitter after games. Those guys are keeping up with the media here in Central Ohio. Guess what? Those guys know college game day's coming this Saturday. And guess what? We're all fans, yep, right? When you're playing, I'm a fan of College Game Day. I know when College Game Day came to town and I'm playing, guess what? You know. You wake up that morning, you put your feet on the ground in the Blackwell, and guess what? Your hair sticks up a little bit more. You're not playing Purdue. You're not playing Illinois. It's not even like you're playing Wisconsin. It's College Game Day, yeah, right? Like, it means something. So those guys aren't paying attention to the stats. Those guys know who they're going up against, know everything about them from height, weight, what they, you know, what they don't adjust well, what they do adjust well, maybe what their girlfriend's names are, right? You know the whole gauntlet. But from the other side of things, you get excited to play the game. They aren't thinking about the stats. Yeah. Man, they want to go out there and show out because it's College Game Day. They're involved in the hype just as much as us fans are involved in the hype.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what I was just going to add on to that is just like, you know, as a receiver, I made a joke earlier about maybe catching one ball a game, but offenses pass. If you're looking at like something even as productive as Chris Olave, even as productive as Jackson Smith and Jigba, like you still have to just perform when your number's called, right? So like it's your job to go out there and block the corner and keep yourself mentally engaged and know what's going on special teams, because when we run a drag and we get that first man coverage, right, like you need to know how that defender is already playing you, right? So if you're too excited, too, oh my God, this is the worst cornerback and secondary room I've ever seen. Well, you know what? Guess who also probably knows that? Their defensive coordinator. So he's got unique ways to plan against this, right? And, you know, just don't get too wrapped up into, oh my gosh, this is my opportunity to have the biggest game. Oh, you know, Chris Olave, everybody's been going off around me. Now's the time to just do something crazy. No.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have a post, hit it on your seventh step, and make sure that you're at the right landmark. Doing that here at Ohio State puts you in the record books.
So you don't want to press. Like, when you watch guys press, that's when they struggle. You know, they're trying. You can see them. Just let the game come to you a little bit. What I would like to see for this game, how it opens up, I don't know if you guys remember this, because you were playing, Zach was watching, probably drunk like I was, watching the 2014 game against Michigan State up there. Michigan State always ran their vaunted quarters defense, and in doing that, it puts the safeties on an island. Mm-hmm. So what do we do?
I was at El Patio.
It was perfect. Exactly. I would expect nothing less.
The no-fly zone.
The no-fly zone. We took Devin Smith. We put him inside in the slot. One of the fastest dudes you were going to find in college football. Could jump out of the gym. And ran right down in their face and ran the skinny post on them right out of the gate. And freaking boom, right over the top, touchdown. Like, I believe it was the first series.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like, it put them on notice. And that game, really, at that point, I felt like it was competitive, but I never felt like Ohio State was ever going to lose it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I would like to see happen. Like, this secondary, regardless of whether you're playing some form of single high, one cover one or cover three, whatever it is, they're not great.
Yeah.
Take early shots. Mm-hmm. Get them on their heels. It's not pressing. It's telling your guys, we have confidence in you. Right. Hey, here's what we're going to do. move some guys around, get a formation that you like against that defense, and go take one. Go try to steal it. You hit the 50-yard line, go try to score right now. And that, I think, will help everybody relax. It'll keep them from pressing because guys understand it's a top 10 matchup. But this is why you come to Ohio State and to play like games like this.
Man, I just don't think that we need to find our shots and like, hey, we got to get that play action in the first drive to go get this huge, elaborate 40-yard, you know what I'm saying? It's like, this is going to be a defense that's going to play the annoying, all right, they got 4.5 defenders 20 yards deep, right? So Chris Olave is just going to get a 10-yard catch, and then Jeremy Rucker's just going to get a 7-yard catch, and it's going to take us some time to go down the field and get it done, but they know where their deficiency are. So I'm just expect that, and you know, hopefully our guys have a good plan against it.
Well, to answer the question, I mean, knowing when you know that you're playing a team that's bad in the passing game, I mean, let's be real. Michigan State's going to come in here. Their season is still on the line. They still have hopes to get into the CFP. So they're going to come out there and say, you know what, we might have been 130th, but today we're going to try to play like the number one defense. So they're going to be hyped up and amped up and ready to play,
yeah,
no matter what their stats say they are. So I think Ohio State just have to have a good game plan. It's going to be one of those games where Travion Henderson is going to have to come in, and he's going to have to establish himself very early, which will force that defensive coordinator to make an adjustment that will open up the shots for Chris Olave or Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Garrett Wilson. But I think early on in the game, like they say, I think they are going to play off, and because they – I mean, the defensive coordinator know they're not that good, so they're going to play off and try to keep everything in front of them, kind of how the Buckeyes finished the game off last week. Shout out to Zach.
All right, great point, great answers on the buyer's auto question for Cardale and the rest of the Buckeyes.
And team.
The senior day factor, how significant can that be? You guys know how emotional it is to go down that hill for the last time.
It's emotional, don't get me wrong. No. Like, it's something to deal with a little bit because it's like you got parents, you got family, and all this other stuff. I don't know. I'd just say that, like, if there's one thing that all, especially at Ohio State, like, almost professional athletes, but college athletes are good at it. It's just being able to
get NIL money now.
Yeah, right. They're basically professional athletes, right? So they're already.
You've been
training.
Through the parking lot to Woody Hayes lately?
No, I need to.
You need to check that thing out.
I have not post NIL.
A few buyers' autos.
Mind will be blown.
Buyers' autos out there right now.
Nice drop. But no, I mean it's. I don't know. Buyers auto and NIL got me all toasty.
Yeah, you want to know? I don't think the senior day factor has a bunch to go into it. I know come game day, even during the season right now, I mean, you're in such a routine. I know every Sunday I did the same thing. Every Monday I did the same thing. And you know, every day thereafter, and especially come game day, after you show up to the facility for a home game, probably at noon on Friday, I mean, you're in lockdown that you're built in that such routine that you don't think about senior day. Really, the only time you feel it is your entire day gets pushed up.
Yeah.
You're right? So your wake-up call that's normally at 6:10, now it might be at 5:40 because you have to build in an extra 30 minutes because your entire pregame schedule gets moved up 30 minutes to do senior day introductions. And so that's probably the hardest thing because you're so used to a certain schedule, especially for a noon game is even more tough. But you're used to these schedules, and then you've got to – you know, go off of that schedule a little bit is tough, but with this not being the Michigan game, I think it makes it easier. Yeah. When you've got senior day in the Michigan game, you know it's the last game of the regular season. I think maybe that one's a little bit tougher, but knowing, hey, this is senior day, but next week we're still got regular season Big Ten play. We're still going up to the Big House. It just doesn't hit as hard, if that makes sense.
You know, it may not hit as hard for everybody else. You know, Michigan game is awesome because you have a tunnel of pride and all these other things that are going there, but for the seniors that will be out there and, like, everything that those guys have been through, you think about the seniors. They've been through a coaching change that they probably didn't think would happen. They went through COVID and everything last year. You know, they've been to national championships, have fallen a little short. There's a lot there that's on their plate.
They also got 4 Big Ten championships.
They also, well, not yet, okay? They've got one
some
more.
Some of them do.
Some of them got
well,
yeah,
some of them. The redshirt guys, the fifth years do. The fourth-year guys, and they still have one left that they still have to get. I mean, I know we want to put the ring on their finger, but let's just – I know you like it. You want to put a ring on it. Let's just wait for just a second, okay? But, you know, with that, and the older you guys get, the more perspective you have, and you probably even have some now, and you realize when you get here at Ohio State, you run down that tunnel for the first time, and it's kind of overwhelming, and you feel like you're going to be running down that tunnel for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And then one day, all of a sudden, it's like you start looking at it probably a game or two out, and you're like, yeah, I got like one or two of these left. And so your parents are out there. Like Zach said, it pushes everything up. There's some inconvenience and everything to it. But it's an emotional moment. And that's one of the things, like, I always would prefer to start the game on defense because I think you can play a little bit more emotional on defense. Where offense, there's a little more timing. You get guys jumping off, false starting, and, you know, getting a little antsy in their routes. And so there will be, I think, early in the game, just that heightened sense of emotion, understanding everything that's gone into the last 4 or 5 years.
But I also think it's a maturity thing, right? Yeah. Like, you know, at that moment on my senior day, it was really our last game. I mean, it was the hardest scene. If you want to talk about emotions being high, it was our last game. There was no Big Ten championship, no bowl game.
Right.
Like, this was the last time we were ever putting on pads together was that game. And so
performance surgery on John Simon in
the back room before the game. There were all kinds of crazy stories with that
no
day.
No anesthetic.
Yeah. Talk about our after party at Charlie Bear that night. I mean, we could go on and on about some stories from
true.
That day.
Real
but
life.
The emotions going into that game, you just don't even think about it. And even from that standpoint, knowing it was our last game, you just your mind is trained so much to go in there and just do the mission, right? Accomplish the mission, and that you don't even think about it. Whereas in now, if I were to go back to senior day and all the appreciation that I have, like you said, Bob, when you first get there, you think it's going to last a lifetime, but you truly don't have an appreciation for Ohio State and Ohio State football until you're away from it, until you don't have it anymore. That's when it sets in, like, man, I didn't realize how cool that was. I didn't realize how good I had it. And so now going back, I think all of us would say senior day would probably be a lot more emotional.
Oh, yeah.
But during that time, you just don't realize it because you're still in the moment. Well, so I don't think those guys are going to feel it as much.
And you're thinking about the land of dance after the game.
The land of dance. Yeah.
You didn't think I'd remember
that. So priorities clearly need to be evaluated.
I believe that the senior night, no matter how you want to spin it, I do think it has a tad bit of effect. I think it will be one of those things that affects the first drive for offenses and defenses because it will be emotional. The crowd will be into it. This will be in your mind, you thinking, I got to go out and show out my parents is here. I got to go out and play with my brothers at home and put on one final performance for this crowd that's been here for me for the past 4 or 5 years. So I need to go out there and show out one last time for them and have fun. So I definitely think senior day definitely plays a part.
I mean, think about this. This is the last time some of these guys we'll be able to have Instagram stories with their pads on in the shoe, you know, all
I mean,
you know,
priorities, right?
Twitter streams, all this stuff.
They rich. They don't care.
There's all these opportunities.
Until it's Thursday, little post the Throwback Thursday.
Throwback. Well, you can, but they're only, but there are their reruns.
Those get old quick.
Yeah. First time it's live. All
those
right,
get
well,
old quick.
It's gonna happen on Saturday at noon. There's no slowing it down. Zach, what's the number down in Mexico at those sports books you were at?
19.
It's time for some Coors Light, Silver Bullets picks.
I was going to place a big bet knowing I had to go back down there to collect, but I did it.
That's the right move right there. As you guys said, I got it right last week, and everyone else missed, right?
Well, okay. Good job. Yeah. Good job.
Jake, there it is. I just needed one.
Let's see. He's like Floyd Mayweather over here, only talking about the wins. He doesn't talk about
I'm like Floyd Mayweather because I'm making it rain.
Whatever.
Make sure you place a bet this week.
All right, you got it. Bardale.
I got a shellacking.
He's back on the shellacking.
63-17. I got a shellacking.
63-17. How can you throw that number out there?
He was feeling some type of way watching the offense last week.
Yeah. Oh, Jim Jones Kool-Aid was awesome.
I think they liked it out there.
You know, I think with the Buckeyes' firepower, I think with a defense that's not so great at what we do extremely well, and I think the hype and the excitement around Mel Tucker's potential contract, they're going to come in here and be flat as possible, and the Buckeyes got more to lose. And I think Ryan Day is going to go make a statement. You know, he's tired of hearing all this. Number four, and they could potentially get bumped out the top four if they win out and all that other stuff. Go make a statement these last two games, well, these last three games, potentially with the Big Ten championship game. And I think it starts here this weekend with Michigan State, 63-17.
I think this team has kind of been waiting to put it in the next gear, and that's what we saw it last week. I think they just knew, hey, we just got to keep it together, keep taking care of business, and then finally we know kind of when to hammer it down, and that's what you're starting to see. And last week was phenomenal. That offense is clicking on all cylinders that we talked about multiple times. I didn't talk about this earlier, but when Bob brought up the contract, and I know Cardell just brought up the contract too, if I'm that coach –
You better sign it.
Hey, I'm signing that before I even get on the bus to come down here or the plane to come down here on Friday, because this is what I'm saying. Ohio State's going to win this game 52-16.
Ooh.
And Michigan State's going to be a four-loss team at the end of the year. They're going to lose this weekend. They're going to lose to Penn State, and they will get matched up with a decent team in a bowl game, and they will lose.
Wow.
Michigan State, I know they're number seven. I know they're number seven.
He better sign. You need to call him and tell him to sign right now.
I know they're number seven. But here's the thing. Who has Michigan State played this year besides Michigan? They haven't played anyone, right? Their non-conference schedule was trash. Went to Miami. Yep. Miami's... Yeah, awful.
Garbage.
They haven't played anyone tough this year besides Michigan. They pulled out a win, which they shouldn't have won that game anyway. It's just Jim Harbaugh has a – he's got a skill of calling bad plays.
Say that for next week.
We'll say that for next week. But Michigan State's going to get beat.
52-16, he said.
52-16.
52-16.
And then they will get beat so bad, they will follow that up next week against Penn State because they're going to realize that, hey, we don't have a chance anymore. And
you sure with the 16? So they're going to kick three field goals.
He's had a couple of odd numbers.
Touchdown.
Been good.
Touchdown, three field goals.
You kind of sit there and think about it.
Hold on. So Ohio State going to go over, they just going to keep kicking field goals?
No, I think it's going to be early on, and then I think Ohio State's just going to hammer them.
Okay.
You know, I think they'll probably get two field goals maybe on, like, the first three possessions. And then Ohio State's just going to put it to him.
I got you.
Schlack it.
Two schlackens.
If that comes true, that boy a prophet. I know. He got it.
I have to go slightly above just the number, right, calling 20. So we're going to go 45. I'm working on the rationale behind this as we speak here, but 45 to what, 21?
24
points.
Yeah. So and on that side, like, you know, again, they struggle from a covering the pass standpoint, but again, we're still talking about a really effective offense in terms of them being able to control the football, right? So eventually Kenneth Walker's going to pop some. Eventually they're going to have the ball for, you know, half of a quarter, right? And sometimes that ends up in touchdowns, right? So, I mean, they'll get 3-ish, what did I say, 21?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, so they'll get 3, maybe they'll get a field goal in there and then I'm wrong, but nonetheless, like, you know, I just think there's not much stopping or slowing down our offense at the moment. We do have to find balance, so we can't lean on those receivers the entire game, and maybe that's what slows us down from getting to a 63 number like Cardell's doing. But that's what I got for you.
Did you see Kenneth Walker run against Purdue?
I did. I did. Man was possessed.
Looks a lot like Le'Veon. Guess what? He couldn't run. Kenneth Walker got shut down by Purdue, and I'm telling you, look at what Ohio State did Purdue's run defense. I don't think Kenneth Walker is going to be running anywhere this weekend besides backwards.
Oh, snap. Oh, snap by Zach. Okay.
Here, Bob.
Zach is ready for Saturday.
Melvin Gordon.
I'm ready.
He is. 14.
I got Bloody Mary mix ready to go off rock.
Oh, coach. Listen, this will be the first game that I'm going to be inside the stadium to consume. I always like to be there on senior day because I love to see, just like I like to watch all you little Yahoos run through there when you were young bucks like 5, 6, 7 years ago.
You just enjoyed the after party, Bob. Yeah. That's all you enjoyed.
There's a band, the land of dance.
Wait, did
land
you guys, of dance you guys take nice. Bob with you?
Oh, no, take Bob with us. Bob came with us. We didn't
I wasn't
going
to answer that question.
Hey, we got in a taxi. He's already in the back seat before we could even
driver.
Open up the door.
I may
door.
Have been the driver in the taxi. Listen, hey, I may have pulled my hamstring that night like running to get a cab. I mean, who knows? But the land of dance is calling. It's RIP. Yeah. No longer around.
No doubt.
That was 9 years, 8 years. That's a long time,
Zach. 9 years ago.
9 years ago. Getting old, Zach. Getting old, sir. I like Ohio State's offense in this. I think they probably throttle back a little bit. I do think that there is some level of respect that Ryan Day has for Michigan State and what how they operate. No. Listen. No,
we don't care.
Listen, I understand that. I'm going to go with 49-20. Like, listen. It's not like they're – but I think they're saving up a lot of the gas for the following week. They'll get it. Yeah. It'll be a lot like Purdue. I just don't think that Michigan State's offense is near as creative as Purdue's. Like, Jeff Brohm is a heck of a coach, and they were going to do some things. Aiden O'Connell's really good. You know, they were going to find a way to score. I don't think Michigan State will be able to do that. It wouldn't shock me if this thing is 28-7 at halftime. Right. Yeah. And, like, it doesn't feel like – there's never a point in time where you feel like the game is in jeopardy.
Time of possession is a huge thing, right? And if we're throwing the ball around the field, we're not spending all that much time on offense, right? So if they have a very dynamic back that can go out and make a whole hell of a lot of plays, we're going to have to make sure that we're attacking our play calling as well.
Well, the Heisman is definitely on the line this game, so he's definitely going to play.
That is true.
With an edge. You know, it's really down to CJ and Kenneth Walker. So one of them's got to win it, and one of them's got to perform well. With that being said, I got the Buckeyes winning 100-0.
Oh, 100-0.
Shellack 1,000.
Let's go.
1,000.
Coach Myers, long dream.
It's just simply because I don't really like them. You know, they cost us two national championships, you know, and I would love – shut up, Bob. No. I would love to see them just – I'd love to see Ryan Day really just go out there and open up this playbook and just let it go, man. You got this is what you want. You're a passing team now. You got the Heisman candidate at quarterback. It's time to go out there and pass some stats and let it fly.
I agree with you a little bit where Bob says he's got respect and they're going to pull off and they're saving some of that fuel and that gasoline for next weekend in Ann Arbor. Guess what? Ryan Day is pumping gas all day Saturday and all day next Saturday because guess what? He wants a Heisman Trophy winner. Yeah. And if Ryan Day doesn't want to talk about it, if the players don't want to talk about it, behind closed doors, between those ears of Ryan Day, guess what? He wants a Heisman Trophy winner because recruiting is the world nowadays. And when you've got a Heisman Trophy quarterback, your recruiting stock goes out the roof with every high school kid there is.
Whoa. Look, curveball here.
What's that?
Do he really want a Heisman Trophy winner?
Uh-oh.
Does he really?
Do he really want to hide?
I mean, wow. NIL.
Because Quinn Ewers. Going to transfer.
Hey, there's some tough decisions on the back of there.
Right? Stop Little curveball.
Quinn Ewers should worry about now Kyle McCord before he can even worry about CJ Stroud. It's one after another. I like having Tyvus here because it makes my picks not sound quite so crazy every week.
100-0.
I think that's a cover. I'm also taking the Bucks to cover. The more I think about this matchup, I thought that Michigan State would be the toughest of that second half stretch for the Buckeyes, but that pass defense is awful. I don't see how you prepare to stop Ohio State's offense, even if you're really good, even if you're Georgia. And every time that there's been this pregame hype about a Heisman Trophy running back, you guys have experienced it. When Ohio State has to take a key player like that away, whether it's Melvin Gordon, Derrick Henry, whoever
Lonnie
else.
Ball. Monty Ball was going to break the NCAA touchdown record against us, and he was on the 1 yard line, had 4 tries to do it, never got it.
Derrick might have been
Ryan
a little
bit here, knocked it up.
Yeah.
Derrick ripped off like a 6 yard touchdown.
That was a screen play.
How about Derrick though? That was a screen play.
And how about that? I mean, that year that it was Mariota that won it. What did he do in the title game? I just think he's not a running back, but every time that happens, Ohio State answers the bell, and as Tyvus said, the Heisman is on the line. I think this week. I think C.J. Stroud will win it, and I think that he'll do it with another 59 banger, 59-13 Ohio State on Saturday.
59-13.
You 41 points short.
Well, I'm going to work on it, all right? I'll get better next week for the rivalry.
He needs a tutor. He needs a tutor, Tyvus.
We'll just work on the triangles and our math and everything else. This has been Weekend Kickoff. It is brought to you by Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems, Coors Light, and Byers Auto. We appreciate Urban Meyer's Pint House for having us in. That's Cardale Jones, Zach Bourne, Evan Spencer, Bobby Carpenter, and Tyvus Powell. I am just Austin Ward. Enjoy the game this weekend. We will see you next week for the game. Bye-bye.